Adonai Roi Lo Echsar. That's how the ancient believers, the Hebrew people, first heard Psalm 23, written by a former shepherd himself, David. If you remember, shepherd David outside of Bethlehem, and the forerunner, really, of great David's greater son. 1,000 years later, Jesus was born according to the Lord's promise. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So this Psalm 23 is a dear one to Christians the world over. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I lack nothing. We have followed the good shepherd all through this summer in this summer series, following a book written by Philip Keller, who had been a shepherd himself. Grew up in East Africa among shepherd boys who herded sheep much the way they did in the Holy Land in Palestine during Jesus' day. And then Philip Keller became a shepherd and an agriculture teacher in Canada and America, took care of sheep on his own ranch and so forth. Insights into this psalm that I've never found anyplace else, including the ones from our verse today, where you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. We're going to follow the Good Shepherd again in this verse. We bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are all sheep who love to wander, and yet you are the Good Shepherd who truly loves his sheep. As you have brought little Charlotte into your kingdom and your flock today, and all of us also by faith and through baptism, we thank you and bless your holy name, even as you bless us with your word. Lord, grant that we may have the blessing of your word now in our hearts and lives so that we may bless you with praises for time and eternity. Amen. So the shepherd, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, begins on the home place. And the first three verses that we had talk about the shepherd taking such good care of his sheep, supplying all the needs, but it's a sheep bragging about, the Lord is my shepherd. This is great. I love to have the Lord as my shepherd because I lack nothing. And he goes on talking in the third person about he, the shepherd. When you get to the fourth verse, 4, 5, and 6, the second half of the psalm is taking us along this one-year journey of the sheep, the flock with their shepherd, out of the home place and up into the high country, which is typical of shepherds the world over. They need to get out of the sultry valleys and up where the air is cool and clean, past the still waters and the green pastures, following the good shepherd and being really close with him. And that closeness is shown in the second half of the psalm where David, or the sheep, begins to say, you, the shepherd, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows because of you. So the shepherd is watching out for enemies in the rim rocks and so forth in the valleys that they have to go up to the high country. But we're getting toward the end of summer now as we're in this verse, and things are going to change. In fact, what you would think would be a fantastic paradise for the sheep, not so much. Kind of like when you go up on the north shore of Lake Superior and find out that summertime up there is fly time too, right? I'm told. It's why I preferred to go up there with the kids during the freezing weather when there weren't so many crowds and you didn't have to worry about insects at 15 or 20 below or colder. That's a good time. But time in the mountains with the shepherd means fly time. And it's not just irritation. There are so many types of flies. I'd never heard about these before. Bot flies, black flies, deer flies, those you've heard. But nasal flies, mosquitoes and gnats. But you know, if you're a camper, you got hands, and you've got insecticide, and you've got netting, you can protect yourself. If you're a sheep, how can you imagine what that would be like not to be able to protect yourself at all, except by running here and there to get away from this invasion, especially of the most awful ones for sheep? Nasal flies. They're buzzing around there, and they're trying to get into the warm mucous membranes, the nasal passages of the sheep, because that's where the nasal flies like to lay their eggs. don't know if you had breakfast this morning, but you can forget about it for a while. Disgusting. And they sometimes get in there, and the sheep have this intense irritation, and all they can do is run around, try to get into the underbrush or beat their heads against rocks and trees, all in an effort to try to get rid of this awful invasion and the wild frustration, and it can injure them terribly, and it can end in death. Not just death from beating their brains out, but also from blindness in the advanced stages of the infection that come with that nasal fly. How's your Christian life? Everybody knows what it means to be bugged. You've got hands, but you know, your hands can't help your soul. Your hands can't really get into your mind. There are places in your psyche, your soul, that's actually the Greek word for soul, where medicine can't go, psychology really can't reach there. This is the place where only the Good Shepherd can help you with this problem. Because there are all sorts of flying parasites out there in the spiritual world too, just the world around us, and that's how you feel. Bang your head here, you know, as if that's really going to help. But you're so frustrated. It comes from the advertising that used to just be in newspapers and magazines, and now it comes in every form of social media. You're just trying to do some research, and somehow they know what the last thing was you were shopping for, because maybe you left your shopping cart, but there it is again and again and again. And hey, did you forget something? You're getting all of that. And you know, you're not really going to be happy unless you have all that stuff and unless you can keep up with everybody else, right? Your whole life is just going to be miserable unless you spend yourself into debt, and it's awful. Nothing new. The flies of materialism, greed, and just our natural self have been out there since Adam and Eve were tempted into sin. So the Lord's apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. By striving for money, some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains or many griefs. It's an awful thing when we give in and when those flies finally can lay their eggs in our soul and we suffer so. It's not just fly time. It's scab time. Awful type of infection that's so highly contagious for the sheep, especially because they are very social creatures and they like to rub their heads together. Now, I never took care of sheep well enough myself to ever have seen that, but a shepherd like Philip Keller saw it all the time. In fact, he avoided any sheep that had any trace of scab, except one time trying to build up his flock. There was a slight case of scab in a couple of ewes that he bought. He said it just quickly spread throughout his whole flock. You just can't stop it because they are so social. And this is how, when we put our heads together in the world that we live in, that's where the scab time comes into our souls as well. We are social creatures. We like to share ideas. And now the social media has made that all the more possible and helpful and quick. You just listen. You just read. You just watch. You just sit in universities and schools today. It's all over the place, right? And there are frustrated teachers trying to fight this in schools. But it's there. And it's infectious. It's spread by rubbing heads with the world, and it's the media that turns us inside just because that's the way we are by nature. Somewhere along the line, there's this slide fly. What does fly stand for? First, love yourself. Now, that's a fly in the ointment if there ever was one, right? First, love yourself. There are people who believe that's the way you should live. So they push that. Years ago, we were looking into what looked like a really wise management course on finances and so forth, and there was a cartoon that said, take the first 10% of your income and give it to yourself. Pay yourself first. You've probably heard that before. It is true from a banking standpoint that if people saved more and invested and all that, you know the numbers, some of you better than I could tell you. And it happens, it grows. But it's blasphemous for a believer. The first fruits belong to the Lord, right? Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your wealth, he says. So I was taught, and I taught my kids, give the first 10% to the Lord, put the next 10% in the bank, spend the rest. And one of my kids said, oh, Dad, I do it a little different. I put the first 10% into the Lord and put 80% in the bank and then spend the rest. Oh, that'll work too, you know? But it's not first love yourself and the rest. What does the Lord Jesus say? He's repeating Moses' law. This is God's will. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Put your neighbor first, especially at home, especially in marriage. Put your neighbor first and self last. But that takes a miracle of God's grace because those eggs of those flies have already been laid in the head of all of us by nature. And it takes the good shepherd to eradicate that, to teach us that godliness with contentment is great gain. So you remember the two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Martha, you know, very intent, like church people, so intent on serving the Lord. Pastors get this way sometimes. Churches get this way when the meetings impact the family. So you can have churches with meeting after meeting after meeting, and dedicated Christians are there day after day, night after night, and not spending time with the family. See the lack of balance that happens there. When that happens, this highly, you know, sanctification attitude actually works against God's will in our families and in our churches. You can have too much of a good thing too. So there's Martha wanting to serve the Lord, and the disciples all showed up there. She's got mouths to feed, and she's working, working, working. And there's Mary just sitting there listening to Jesus. Remember that? How frustrated Martha was. Tell my sister to come and help me. Don't you care, Lord? Jesus does not scold Martha except to say, Martha, Martha, he's speaking with love. You're so worried and upset about so many things, but Mary has chosen the better thing, and it will not be taken away from her. To sit at Jesus' feet is to follow the good shepherd and let him take care of those flies of all sorts and the scab that can so easily get into us and into our souls and free us from the frustration, because he truly is the good shepherd. That's what it is. You anoint my head with oil. Shepherd Philip Keller says that, you know, what affects your head affects your life. So he would make, for the sake of the life of his sheep, he would make his own mixture. Apparently they did this in Palestine too in the ancient times, of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar. I don't think that probably smelled very good, probably not very comfortable, but he said that the effect on the sheep was almost immediate. Instead of running around, you know, not eating, and the lambs basically starving because they couldn't nurse with their mothers either, the sheep will be grazing contentedly once their head is anointed with this mixture. And the little lambs, too, not bothered anymore. They're able to suckle their mothers and then to all lie down and grow and gain. And the shepherd is looking at their contentment, and it's his contentment, too. Our Lord Jesus just loves it when you are content. He just loves it when you can say, thanks be to God. When you can spend your days in just praying for the Lord's mercy. Read something, hear something, see it on TV, whatever, and it bothers you. Lord, have mercy upon us. How many times a day can you say that? Lord, have mercy upon us. And it's not just you that's bothered. It's people that have to live in those neighborhoods where those terrible things are happening. Lord, have mercy upon us. When the scab would come into a flock, then it got to be a much more expensive and highly intensive effort to get rid of that scab, because it's pretty much throughout the flock. You couldn't see it right away. So they would have to set up a dip to put the whole animal and the whole flock one by one into this mixture. And then either put the whole animal under, or more shepherds would just very carefully anoint the head with oil. Smear this all over the head and make sure that that scab and the flies, whatever, will be gone. And that then is where that unblemished flock comes from. Keller is really convinced that in the sacrifices of the temple and the tabernacle in the desert, the unblemished lambs and so forth were the ones that did not have that scab. Because ranchers and shepherds would want to get rid of those bad animals, and sometimes they'd give them to the Lord, and sometimes the priests would accept that and then complain that their lives were so miserable. In Malachi, he says, why are you priests complaining? You allow them to give these offerings to the Lord. What do you expect, finally, when you're living off the offerings? See, it's just so convoluted and so wicked of the priests. And so the Lord brought that down on them and said, look, you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because that is how you are going to have the cup of contentment where the sheep can say, my cup is overflowing. This is a change now that's coming in the high country, and it comes actually rather soon. If you've ever lived up in an area where you can see mountains off in the distance, you'll see the snow start to come down on those mountains even at the beginning of August. It's barely leaving mid-June, and it's coming down about August. So the nights up there are turning cold. Autumn is coming quickly to the high country. The fly time is almost gone. But as the changes are coming to the seasons, and the rain and the mist can sometimes turn to snow and turn the ground white, there's changes coming to the flocks as well. The rams in particular are growing really strong and tough in their neck. Their horns are getting tougher. And you know what? Fly time is giving way to rutting time. It's the rut. Now the rams are going to fight with each other for the favors of the ewes. If you try to find pictures of this, it's almost all of the wild mountain sheep that are fighting. But domestic sheep apparently do this too. The rams will fight and butt heads. And Keller said you could hear this at all hours, day and night. Just hear the crashing of heads and bodies as these rams would just go at each other as hard and fast as they could. And there's either going to be serious injury or there's going to be death when rams are after each other like that. So what kind of solution do you think a shepherd would come up for that? I love this one. You got to take the rams aside one by one, and they're not going to like this. Remember, they're getting really strong now. They could probably flip the shepherd off, you know, if they wanted to. But anyway, they get hold of that ram and smear axle grease on his head. They did this in Palestine too. Just put all this grease on the head. Then you go to the next ram. You get them all greased up. Now, just picture this in your mind. You get two rams like this that take a run at each other. And they just come full bore. And they're just so mad and so irritated in the rut, you know, in ramming time. And they just crash their heads and whoop. So they line her up and they try to do it again. Whoop. He said it was really funny to watch them stand there so bewildered and stupefied. They couldn't figure out what had happened because they're slipping off each other. That, my dear friends, is a great picture of what Jesus was doing with his disciples in the upper room when they heard Jesus say he was going to suffer and die on the cross, and the next thing they're doing is arguing about who's the greatest. I can't understand how Jesus could put up with that. Have you ever been frustrated when people just don't care about you? You feel like you're the only one left in the whole world that nobody is worried about? And here's Jesus. Were they even listening to him? But he applies the axle grease. He anoints their heads with this concoction. So they stop ramming each other when he says, the counselor whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. He will bring peace to your heart and peace to you disciples so that you're not butting heads all the time and ramming each other. What a great picture at those times when you and I just get so frustrated. I don't know about you, but in my Christian life, it tends to be things that I thought I had overcome. You fill in the blank. You've worked on this. You've prayed about it. You've confessed it. You've gone to Christ and you've worked on it. And there it is again. It is so irritating. And so suddenly you're frustrated. This isn't working. That's not working. It may be something extremely important, like trying to take care of a loved one. And now you're not just waiting through all the medical stuff for yourself. It's for someone else. And there's this mix-up in Social Security numbers and all of that. You know what I'm saying? It's awful. And you're frustrated. Can you just step back for a moment and pray to the Good Shepherd? If I were trusting you, I would not be frustrated right now. Isn't that true? You can deal with issues much better if your heart is at peace. Lord, anoint me with the Holy Spirit. Put that concoction on my head so that I stop banging my head against a wall and trust you. And the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is so happy to do this. I mean, we have to ask ourselves, why can we not humble ourselves in the middle of those? Because Jesus did. Why can we not return kindness instead of angry words and rebuttals? Why can we not be willing to yield instead of having to have our own way? We're talking about things here that are not commanded in Scripture. When it comes to Scripture, don't yield. That's the Word of God. But even there, you can contend without being contentious. That's really the message of Jude, that little letter of Jesus' brother in the New Testament just before Revelation. Look at Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He was willing to suffer that cup of suffering so that you and I would never have to suffer eternal hell. But if you're worried about what you deserve, then you got to start there and realize that's what I deserve from God. I just deserve eternal punishment. I don't deserve even a day of peace, even a moment of tranquility. I deserve my shepherd to just let me go. But he won't. His love is stubborn. Our shepherd is more stubborn than you are. He's going to follow you. He's going to find you. He's going to grease you up. He's going to get hold of you, praise God, and give you the relief that you don't even know you need. And he'll do it through word and sacrament, remembering your baptism, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to hear the Lord's word of peace, to have it said at the end of the service again, go in peace. That's a command from God. Go in peace. The same God who said, you shall not commit adultery and you shall not murder, says, go in peace. He anoints our heads with oil. High country's getting cold. The rain and the snow is starting to come down, and sheep are actually not as warm as you would think with all that wool, and the little lambs especially suffer. So the shepherd has to watch out that the sheep will lie down in the cold and then start to stiffen up. He's got to get to them in time. He's got to be out there in the storms with them. Keller said he carried this little flask of brandy. I love this one too. Brandy and water. And when he'd find a sheep, or especially those little lambs, he said, you just put a little spoonful of that brandy and water down in them and their bodies just to start to warm up, and they get back on their feet again and their little tail is just wiggling like that, and they're just fine then, see? But the shepherd's got to be in the storms with them. And that's the way the good shepherd is when he comes to us with the cup of contentment in the Holy Supper that cost him his body and his blood. This wonderful blessing when Jesus, in his last will and testament, speaking very clearly and very simply about the bread and the wine, which he says are there, he says, this is my body, this is my blood. Do you believe him? That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, too, to trust what he says, even if your senses tell you something different. But there is the forgiveness, a new life and salvation that comes in the cup of contentment that just overflows. It overflows into our lives. I will run the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. And then we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All the fruits of the Spirit from the Holy Spirit's anointing. Blessings. Jesus, in warning us through Paul in Romans, says the way of the sinful flesh, or the way the sinful flesh thinks, results in death. Without this, we just, you know, bash our brains out in frustration. You see it from people. They lose their minds. But the way the Spirit thinks results in life and peace. So recognize the frustration for what it is. Recognize the peace for what it is. And thank the Lord for it, because he's watching out for you. You anoint my head with oil. Paul to the Ephesians says, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Stop butting heads in church. Stop worrying about those things that are not commanded or forbidden by God, where it's a matter of choice. We discuss things, we vote on things, we make decisions, we move on, but let it be for the glory of God and not because it's my way or the highway, or now I want to, you know, not be happy. Even in the home, isn't it little things like how do you squeeze the tube of toothpaste that bother people? Little gnats, little flies. Let it be gone. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who practice peace. If we all knew how this was to begin with, we wouldn't have to practice. But some days need more practice than others, don't they? Some weeks need more practice than others. And thank God at the end of every day, I don't have to live that one again. And tomorrow's a new day with God's promises new. And the end of wretchedness that I'm looking forward to as I follow my good shepherd who so dearly loves the lambs. I have overflowing blessings and I want to be able to see them. I want the endless contentment of eternal summer that he has promised when we finally come home to his house in heaven. I want to know from experience that godliness with contentment truly is great gain. Your bank account may not change. Your health may not change. But when you have contentment from the Holy Spirit's anointing through his word, that's gain beyond what money can buy. Jesus said specifically to the fathers, if you then, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Dear sheep of the good shepherd, it is so wonderful to be able to say, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. You want these blessings? Here's God's word. Just ask. Amen.